today as we come to the table.
I believe that a lot of male leadership has been in decline in our society for quite some time. Rather than strong and bold male leadership, oftentimes we see weaker and weaker men. And I think maybe some people treat that as a picture of strength. It's not a picture of strength. It's a picture of not being what God's called you to be. You don't have to be macho, all right? I'm not talking about an attitude. You know, the macho thing, you know, going around, I'm a fighter. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. But just walking where God's called you to walk as a man. Making a stand where you need to make a stand in your own home. Making a stand where you need to make a stand in the church. Making a stand where you need to make a stand in society. It's just being what God has called us to be.
Going where God calls and doing what God says and being who God wants us to be is hard. It's not easy to do the right thing 10 times out of 10, especially while fighting our human nature. In today's message, Pastor Mark will remind you that when you truly love God, obeying Him and His commands will come easy. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. When you love the Lord and recognize Him as the Lord in your life, obedience comes naturally because you obviously want to please Him. And when you please Him and follow His commands, your life will be so much more fruitful. With God, your life can and will flourish in ways you cannot even imagine. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
At any given time, we've got a house filled with a bunch of college students and things going on, activities, whatever. I never envisioned that happening, but it's like really, really exciting because it's fun to watch them and to be with them and to see their excitement and to be able to just kind of be with them, you know? There's such a life there. But I'll tell you something else. There's a reality is when you've got people that are in your house all the time, not all the time, but at a large amount of time, they tend to see who you really are at home, right? And so, you know, hopefully they don't see too much. You close the proper doors when you're going wherever, right? In your home, so to speak, which happened in the old building one time when it was the church at our house. But either way, sorry, giving you too much detail that you didn't need or ask for. But the bottom line is they see how you live your life. How do you conduct yourself? You know, what's your temper like? What's your personality like? And of course, when people are there, you're going to act a little bit different. You're not going to be totally free when people are there. But if people are there a lot, if people live around you and they see you, they should be able to see, you know what? You're not perfect, quite clearly. But you're trying to live for the Lord. And that's a good example. We need to be those that are the same way in our homes as we are at the church in the sense of living our lives in general as unto God. And Paul's going to get into that more in just a moment as he talks about the way they lived among them. But we need to make sure that we're not living two separate lives, one life one place and one life somewhere else. And Paul gets into that. Look at verse 10. He says this, "For you are witnesses." You've seen it, how we lived. "And God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe." Notice he says, our testimony speaks for itself. You watched us and how we lived. Again, without saying a word, you saw how we conducted ourselves. And again, I said it's more caught than it is taught. I was very green. I wasn't, for whatever the reason, I was not really very equipped when it came to just the ways of the world and how to conduct yourself, you know, growing up. I did a lot of really crazy things and foolish things and embarrassing things that I'm not going to share with you right now. But I mean, I'll never forget one of them. I'll share the first time I ever was. I grew up in small towns. I'll never forget the first time I went to a place where they handed a check on a table and I didn't know what to do with it. They put the check on the table and I was like, why do you give us the check? Nobody, here's the funny thing, nobody else at the table knew either. I don't know. Why they give it to? I don't know. What do we do with that? I don't know. What do you think? And finally somebody said, I bet they want us to pay him. I was like, they want us to pay him. Now that happened after I signed it and handed it back to him. I didn't know what to do. I signed it and he gave it to him. He walked away all nervous and he walks back in a corner and a bunch of waiters all gathered going, is this somebody really famous, important? Why did he just sign this? You know, and he comes back to the table and goes, we're not accepting city ledger at this time. So I was like, oh, well, that's okay. We'll just pay them. You know, I'm admitting to you my ignorance in so many things. But I learned by watching others. It would have been good to have been with someone else that was there paying the bill to have seen that before I found myself in that place. And even in ministry, when I watch people, I didn't realize when you get up in front of people, you're aware of everything. Like here, my hands were here, I'm aware of them. I was never aware that my hands were just always here until you guys came in. And now my hands are with me everywhere I go, always at the end of my arm. Every time I look, there they are. And when I would sit, and you go, like, for example, you sit up front, and there's a funeral. And I would watch these guys. You don't realize, you don't know what to do with your hands. I was very socially awkward. And so I would watch these guys. Okay, how's he holding his hands during the funeral? Okay, I was like, what's he doing with his hands while he teaches? Well, how's he standing? Now, I've got very natural, I'm very comfortable on my skin, quite obviously. Nothing seems to bother me that way now. But you have no idea how little I knew and what I had to learn. And I still watch people today. I would not know how to conduct myself in a congressional type setting. Or if I was invited to the White House, I mean, I would just kind of sit there and not do anything until I watched everybody else do something because I don't know what to do. And I don't say that in any kind of proud way. I'm saying, how do I learn it? I've learned it by watching. What did that guy do? I remember reading a story about somebody that had been at the White House eating with the president, and they were watching the president. They didn't know what to do either, and they were saying, what do I do? And so the president took some of his coffee and poured it in a saucer, and so they took some of their coffee, and they poured it in a saucer, and then they sat there for a minute to see what the president would do, and the president reached down and put it on the floor and gave it to his dog. And they're going, well, I can't do that. So here they are at the table of the president of the United States, everything's sitting there, there's a saucer there with coffee. You're going, I thought we all did that. I mean, just what you do, you pour coffee, you know. The point is, and there is a point. Guys, it's caught. Watching how we live our lives. Our kids watch that, dads. Our kids watch that, moms. And they don't expect perfection. They know we're not perfect. But what they do expect is that we're trying. Notice Paul says here, we conducted ourselves in three different ways with you, devoutly, justly, and blamelessly. And notice number one, devoutly means devoutly with God. That is, we lived our life in front of you in such a way that you could see that it was real, okay? Me being at my home with people coming in and out all the time, it's hard to be fake. It's hard to be. Maybe you can to a certain degree, but you got to live life. And the same way with you, your kids watch you. Are you real? Are you the same dad and mom that you are at the church that you are at home? Listen, I'm a PK. Those of you that are PKs know what that means. Preacher's kid, right? And whenever you meet another preacher's kid, they're like, you're a PK, I'm a PK too. We have this kind of private talk or whatever, kind of a little, we do a thing, whatever. Anyway, but here's what I've seen. When it comes to PKs, the ones that end up walking good with God are those that had a dad that really lived it at home. I'll tell you what else I've seen. When there were pastors that did not live at home, what they were doing in the pulpit, those kids walked away and they rebelled. And I understand it. I understand. You know why? If it's not real to him, why should it be real to me? And they're in those developing years, and they walk away. It's a dangerous thing. Now, I know for a pastor, there's a lot more accountability, but the same way with us as dads and moms, and especially dads, I'm going to focus on this morning, we need to be living out in front of our kids. Remember, not perfection. Honesty. Seeking God. Really getting in the Word. Really praying. Really trying to do the right thing. And they recognize that. They can look past your failures when they see your sincerity. They really can. And so he says, we conducted ourselves devoutly. We lived it out in front of you so you could catch it. Not just be taught it, you would catch it. Next, he says, we were justly. That means justly with fellow believers. And what he means is that we conducted ourselves in a just way, one with another within the church. We did the right thing. If we did somebody wrong, we went to them and said, please forgive me. We humbled ourselves. We did whatever needed to be done. If we conducted business, we did it the right way. Justly. What's another thing? The last thing he says, and this one applies to before the world, he says we did it blamelessly. Now what this means is it doesn't mean that you'll never be accused. Note this, you will be accused if you're a follower of Jesus Christ because the Bible says that Satan himself accuses us day and night before the throne of heaven. So you're always being accused. Sometimes you know it, sometimes you don't know it. Sometimes it comes out through a person's mouth. Sometimes it simply comes in your mind as the enemy accuses you and maybe even points out something you're really doing wrong to make you feel guilty. And of course, when that happens, we need to use that to go to the Lord and ask forgiveness. But the reality is we're going to be accused. That's part of it. Here's the key. We need to live our life in such a way that it's blameless before the world so that when we are accused, it's unprovable. In other words, you may be accused, but nobody can back it up. Well, I think Pastor Mark, and there's nothing going on like that right now, so this is not some, I don't know why I have to say that every time, but there really isn't, but I do. But let's say that was happening. Maybe I didn't even know about it was happening. A lot of things you could probably accuse me of, you'd be right, because you see my flaws. But am I trying to live for God? That's the key. Am I getting it right when I find out it's wrong? Am I trying to be that example in front of the world around me? Are you trying to do that? That's what it means to be blameless. So when somebody accuses us, you can't be accused. Now again, you can put boundaries up in your life to guard yourself on that. Put boundaries up. Whatever boundary you need. Put that up in your life, guard yourself, and then nobody can ever accuse you of anything. You know, it's interesting because it really makes a point, and that is this. Listen, there's adultery in the world, and there's even adultery in the church. I've been a pastor now for 26, 27 years. I don't know, whatever it is. And over the years, I've seen a lot of sad things happen. But here's what I've realized. If you're never alone with somebody of the opposite sex, guess what can never happen? Isn't that simple? How simple is that? That is so easy. It's like, just never be alone with someone of the opposite sex without your wife or a friend, and there's no way you're ever going to fall in adultery. So, well, I'm not worried about it because I'm not tempted. Well, I'll put it this way. If you guard yourself in that way, not being legalistic, but if you guard yourself, then you never will be tempted. You won't have an opportunity. Now, again, this applies more to pastors than it does others because, again, pastors, this is one of the areas that pastors fall. They say, what are the areas that pastors fall? They fall in finances and in pride and with women. So Billy Graham used to always say, and if you look back at pastors that have fallen, that's the areas they fall in. So what do we do? Calvary Chapel, we have an outside company that comes in and looks at our books. It's not just our board, you know, that looks at them and runs everything. We have an outside company that comes in every year, and we pay them to look at our books and say, does anything look weird? And they say, nope, you look great. All right, great. Well, then they charge us, and now our books are worse because of them. But either way, why? Because we may be accused one day. And if somebody accuses us, I want to say, you know what? See our accountants. Talk to them. And we have years of records, okay? And somebody says, you know, I think I saw Pastor Mark with women around town. Well, who? Well, I don't know who, but I think it is. Well, anybody else know the witness? No. Why? Because he never does that. So if he's never doing that, you're not going to see that. Now, here's the thing to realize. When I say put boundaries up, whatever boundaries you need so that you can stay above reproach and unaccusable and this kind of thing, it doesn't mean that. I tell the staff, I say, staff, don't be alone with anybody privately for an extended period of time of the opposite sex, okay? Now, I'm not radical about it. If I'm standing out in the hall and there's nobody around right now and a woman comes in the hall, you know, I don't throw holy water on her and start hissing, you know? Right? But if I see it's going to be a long, drawn-out conversation, I'll say something like, you know, why don't we step out front? I've had to do that before. You know, so let's go out front and talk out there on the patio where I know people are. Or let's go in there and I'll bring somebody in. We'll sit in the conference room. Why? Not because I'm tempted or I'm thinking about doing anything that I shouldn't do. But it's just a very, very simple principle. If you stay away from whatever areas, in all the areas where people fall, if you put boundaries up in those areas, it won't happen. You have to choose to make it happen. And if you choose to make it happen, you're going to make it happen. There's no way you can stop it. It's part of it. But if you set up the boundaries, you're going to be safe. So guard yourself. He says, we lived in such a way that we conducted ourselves blamelessly before you, and now we can't be accused. And he goes on, look at this, verse 11. He says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Now, as we already noted, Paul said he would treat them, or he treated them as a tender mother would in gentleness. Now he shifts gears. He says, I also dealt with you as a father. So now comes the firmer, tougher approach as well. And how did he do it? Not just in exhortation and comfort, but in encouragement and strength and giving them a charge for the ministry. That is, you need to be sharing the gospel. You need to go and share the kingdom with other people and you know, charge them as a father does his own children. It's interesting that he uses the word charge here. The word means it's a strong word that shows strength and conviction concerning the things of God. So even as we are to be tender and gentle like a mother, we need to show strong, sturdy conviction of the things of God. Strong and sturdy, steady, making a stand, you know, living as a man is supposed to live. Now, there has to be a balance, tenderness and strength combined, as Paul is sharing with them. But I think one of the biggest problems that we have in much of the church today, and really quite frankly in our society, is a lack of strong male leadership. Now, this is not a He-Man Woman Haters Club speech. Okay, I'm not saying that women can't be strong leaders. I'm saying, man, we need to be leaders. We're called to be leaders in our home. We're called to be leaders in the church. We're called to be leaders in the community. This is God's design. And so we need to step up to the plate and say, all right, God, how do I do that? And I believe that a lot of male leadership has been in decline in our society for quite some time. Rather than strong and bold male leadership, oftentimes we see weaker and weaker men. And I think maybe some people paint that as a picture of strength. It's not a picture of strength. It's a picture of not being what God's called you to be. You don't have to be macho, all right? I'm not talking about an attitude. You know, the macho thing, you know, go around, I'm a fighter, I'm one of those, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. But just walking where God's called you to walk as a man. Making a stand where you need to make a stand in your own home. Making a stand where you need to make a stand in the church. Making a stand where you need to make a stand in society. It's just being what God has called us to be. And so, you know, you look all through Scripture, and I love looking at the men in the Bible because you see these men in the Scripture, and there's nothing wrong in somebody having a very soft side to them. David had a very soft side. You read the Psalms, and David would weep, and all these things that David had, very, very soft side to him. But at the same time, David was a truly a man of God and a real man. You know, David did what needed to be done. He was a warrior when he needed to be a warrior. And so he had the proper balance that's supposed to be there. And so Paul says being strong and assertive when it comes to a father is a good thing. So men, don't be afraid to be men. Don't be afraid to be strong. Don't be afraid to be bold. Don't be afraid to be assertive, and especially when it comes to the gospel. You know, I haven't heard this for a long time, but I would hear people say, you know, men, we need to learn how to get in touch with our feminine side, right? My wife is my feminine side. She's my feminine side. I'm the masculine side. That's why God brought us together. I'm the man, she's the woman. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't have a tender heart and I shouldn't be gentle with my kids and with you guys, but it also means that it's okay to be a man and to be what God's called us to be. And so, again, leaders of the flock and setting that example. Paul said, I was doing that here for you guys in Thessalonica, and we need to do that here in Knoxville as well. And so Paul goes on, he says, not only being as a father a charge to the children, he goes on next and says, look at verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom of glory. What a statement, walking worthy of God. Guys, you know what? We're very close to the return of the Lord. I really believe we are very close. Now, think about this for a minute. Everybody talks about it. The Lord's coming back. We believe that. We don't know when it's going to be. We don't know the day or the hour. I do believe we've entered into what the Bible calls the time of sorrows that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, verse 8. Talks about the birth pangs and all we see happening. Again, we'll get in a little bit more detail about that next week. But the bottom line is that do you realize what's going to happen after the rapture? The rapture takes place. Then you have the great tribulation where God's going to try to save as many as he can right before he comes back. But here's the ultimate thing that we're very close to, and that is he comes back to the earth and he establishes a kingdom with a real king sitting on a real throne. You ever thought that through? How many of you have served under a king in a real kingdom? I never have. I'll be watching a lot at that time too because I'll look like an idiot if I don't. I've never been under a king. In the literal physical sense. I'm under one now spiritually, but I've never been under one physically. He's going to be sitting on a throne in Jerusalem. We're all going to be serving him as his subjects worldwide. The Bible says you will be kings and priests unto the Lord. What are we going to wear? What will the kingdom look like? What will the palace gatherings be like? What will the feast be like? What will it be like when the Lord sits and teaches us the Bible, which it says he will do? Our king. Can you imagine? I just can't even imagine. It is right around the corner. So you're in prep school. This is prep school this morning. What Paul is saying is, are you ready to be a subject in a real kingdom, worldwide, with a real king seated on a throne? Again, any protocols that we're supposed to follow, he will teach us. We will know it probably instantaneously. And certainly we're going to be, again, bowing before him. We understand all that as far as the worship and the praise. But right now, Paul is saying, start walking worthy now. You are now kings and priests. It's not just when he comes back and establishes his throne in Jerusalem and rules the world for 1,000 years. Right now, you're kings and priests unto God. Live like it. Walk worthy of it. There's nothing more disgraceful than a prince or a king who's living totally for themselves and in the world. There's historical records of that. You can find them. They're disgusting. It disgusts their kingdoms and disgusts those that know them. Why? Because it's not befitting character. It's not befitting behavior. There's behavior that's befitting of royalty. You are royalty. That's what the Bible says. And here's the really cool thing. Anybody that wants to be a part of the royal family, you're welcome. If you're here today and you're not a part of the royal family, all you have to do is believe that Jesus died for you on a cross. That his payment, his blood was spilled for you. You now are a member of the royal family and you're a king and a priest forever unto God. Wearing whatever you're going to wear and whatever's going to happen and what's going to be amazing. You know, I just can't wait to see you guys. I can't wait to see you guys. And I'll tell you what it does is, and I wish I could keep this mindset all the time. It doesn't always stay there. I get back in the flesh too easy. But if I could just picture you guys as kings and priests all the time, I'd know I'd treat you differently. Now, I probably wouldn't say, you know, your majesty and things like that. I think it's probably not appropriate. But you're a king. That's who you are. I'm not making it up. It's not religious fantasy land. You're really a king. For real. Or as they, some of my friends just say, for reals. You're a king. You're a priest unto the Lord. Wow. And I know you, a lot of you. And everybody will say, well, I know. I met this person. I met that person, right? Were they a king? Well, no. Well, I know lots of kings. Really? Yeah, I'll introduce them to you. Come to church Sunday. Because that's who you are. Now, walk worthy of it. You're royalty. Conduct yourself as royalty in privacy and in open. Because God's watching and the world's watching. Walk worthy of God, Paul said to them. And so, again, part of the kingdom. Why? Because we're a part of his kingdom and his glory. He ends there at that end of this verse. And, you know, again, showing the responsibility we have as to who we represent and who we're walking in this, you know, royalty with and for. All this is there. And God has given it to us. Let's walk worthy of it. As I said, we're going to be doing a special message. I think we need to kind of take a little bit of time to kind of talk about what's going on so that we know how to best love our neighbors and love our family and reach out to our community in love and show that love in a very practical way, but also how we conduct ourselves and the way we move forward as believers. But as we finish today, looking at the traits of a godly leader, I want to encourage us as men to be men and step up to the plate in what God has called us to do. First of all, in our families, with our wives and children, and then secondly, in the church as well. Again, now's the time. You're on stage. Time is short. There's not a whole lot of time left to step up and do what a man's called to do. And again, or what a woman's called to do for that matter. But this is our focus as men today. We need strong male leadership in our churches. We need strong male leadership in our community. And we need strong male leadership in our nation. Again, this is not to the exclusion of strong female leaders. That's not what I'm saying. You guys are with me on this. This is our focus today as men. So we need to step up and be men. So I want to end today by praying that God will not only help all of us exhibit these godly traits that we've been looking at the last few weeks, but especially that we as men will step up to the plate and boldly answer the call that God has given us to be men of God. And again, for those of you who don't know the Lord, if you're not a part of the royal family yet, know this, it's open to everyone all over the world, no matter your background, no matter your country you come from or your history or whatever, nothing matters. You are welcome in the family of God. It's simply a matter of believing in Jesus and receiving. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that as well as we pray. So let's pray for these things. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you've been showing us in Thessalonians about, Lord, just having godly traits. This is what a godly person is to live like. And Lord, Paul has been very good to go down in quite a detailed manner these last 3 weeks in what godly traits that he had and that we're to have as believers and that you make possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, do that in us. Transform us, Lord. Make us that way. But God, I also prayed for our dads, our fathers. God, we've been called to be men, not some, we know it doesn't mean some macho thing and it's not about fighting and how tough we are. It's about being men and being leaders. And being called to be who we've been called to be. I pray you help us to be leaders in our home first and foremost. And then help us, God, to step up and be leaders in the church. And then, God, to be leaders in our community.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is teaching verse by verse through the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians. In this letter, the Apostle Paul teaches the early Christians to live holy and blameless lives by being sexually pure. Back in those days of Roman influence, much like it is in our culture today, people freely indulged their sexual desires and lustful passions. In such a culture, one of the most powerful ways Christians can display the holiness of God is to abide by God's design for sex, which is between a man and a woman, within the confines of marriage. We encourage you to reflect God's holiness in this way. If you have any questions or prayer requests, we'd love to hear from you and pray with you. You can give us a call at 865-609-1385. We'd love to have a conversation with you. Once again, that's 865-609-1385. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. We want to meet you. Feel free to refer to our website for service times, thewaymedia.net. Scroll down the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. As our time comes to a close today, We trust that you've been encouraged through this teaching of 1 Thessalonians. Please make a point to join us next time as Pastor Mark continues to teach biblical truths and practical applications on living out the Christian faith from this New Testament book here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.